Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to discuss relationships that seem to be long-term, or you think they're going to be long-term, and then suddenly they're not, and they end. And particularly, I'm talking about intimate relationships, having a partner or a spouse. So, and I'm going to give two examples of two people who were married about 3 months ago, and now both of those couples are now separated and divorcing. And these are couples that the whole world knows, and so I'm going to mention their names. And in regards to one of them, so I'll just go ahead and share who they are. One is somebody I've already discussed on this podcast because she was raised by somebody with Munchausen by proxy. I was raised, and again, this is my opinion. I've never been told this by a psychiatrist, which makes perfect sense that I'd never been told it by a psychiatrist. But I truly believe that my primary abuser had Munchausen, not Munchausen by proxy, but Munchausen. And so in my case, my primary abuser hurts themselves. They physically hurt themselves. They alter their body to get attention. And they've done this since I was a teenager. So for 30 years, they've been doing this. Like for 25 years, they've been doing this. Since I was roughly 15 or 16. They go to a gazillion different doctors. They spend a fortune on medical supplies. It's really absurd. It's wild. So there is a similarity there. When there's Munchausen and when there's Munchausen by proxy, in her case, I'm talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Her mom had Munchausen by proxy, right? So she was using Gypsy as a tool to get what she wanted. She was using her own kid as a tool in this deceiving medical way, faking illnesses on her kid as a way to get all kinds of things. I would say the number one thing would be attention, but again, I'm not a doctor. But, you know, I think attention, it's like a constant form of attention getting on the mom's part. The mom is dead now. But, you know, and Gypsy was released from prison in her role in the death of the mom. And she got out, I think, December 28th. And I think was married in prison. So before she was released, she married a guy in prison. And he's like a teacher or something. And so they've been out for about the last 3 months, and everyone thought it was going to go fine. Well, it turns out that they've separated since the 3 months, and she's, I think, applied for spousal support and a temporary restraining order against this guy that she's, I think, now divorcing. And she is now also, I don't know if she has gotten back with her ex-fiance or if they're just friends. I don't know the specifics, but basically things came to in dissolving, right? So the other scenario I'm going to discuss is on a TV show that had never been done before. There was a TV show about seniors who date, which I thought was interesting because I wanted to see what dating life was like for older people. And it was called The Golden Bachelor. And the guy who was on the show, who was the main character, the main guy, The Golden Bachelor, Gary, he ended up marrying a woman he met on the show. The show literally started last August. The show was airing in the fall time. They got married, announced their wedding like at the end of, I think, December. And they were married in January of this year. And now they just announced that they're separating and they're going to divorce. He filed for divorce like yesterday. So they're married for 3 months. And in that case, I think the fact that they were older in their 70s, they already have families. They've already been settled down in places for 40 plus years. But when you go on a show like that, it's people from all over the country. So you're meeting people who live in other states, and that person probably has a family too, which she does, and she's settled, and she has a job and a whole life in this place in New Jersey. And he lives in Indiana. And so they basically, what they said was they couldn't come to an agreement regarding their families on where they were going to permanently live. And one of them also still wanted to keep their job. And so they couldn't live here for 6 months and here for 6 months because they still work their job. And I thought that's a perfect, it's a perfect answer, right? So when you're older like that, being on a show like that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And they just showed it, right? They just showed that, you know, once you reach a certain age, unless you are ready to move, don't sign up for that show. Unless you're ready to move, because you're probably going to be moving. But it ended. They literally got married, right? And then it ended. The other couple was married and now it's dissolving. And so I wanted to bring these two things up because I thought the time frame was interesting. You know, 3 months is really such a short time. And I think with people with complex PTSD, and I don't know that any of these people, by the way, have complex PTSD. Gypsy Rose Blanchard might have it because she did go through long-term trauma. So I would say she'd be a perfect candidate for it. But I don't know if she's ever come out and said, I've been diagnosed with that. So I don't know if she has that. But for people with complex PTSD, since we do struggle with interpersonal dialogue, that's one of our symptoms, is that we really struggle with just communicating in an intimate way with our partners. I think a lot of times we tend to be impulsive because of that. We tend to either run or we jump into things. And when you jump into things, a lot of times you're not thinking clearly when you're jumping in head first. And then once you're actually in the mix and you have to solve your day-to-day problems, you might end up running. Because coming into it, we a lot of times maybe don't do it the proper way. And I'm absolutely guilty of this myself, 100%. Not knowing. One of the big things for me is I don't know what dating means. I don't know what that word means. And so, you know, I understand the concept of going on a date with somebody. Like, okay, let's just go out to eat and get to know each other. I don't know what dating means, though. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm the type of person somebody would have to say to me, how would you like it if we only saw each other from now on? That's the type of thing I would need somebody to say to me. How would you like it if we saw each other exclusively? Because then I would know, okay, we're going in the right direction. Because if something like that is never said, or if somebody never says something like, I would like to see you exclusively, I'm a chaotic mess. I don't understand what it is they're wanting. I start to question everything. If something like that is not said, so if somebody never says, would you like to see each other exclusively? I basically don't trust you until something like that has been said. And then I'm fine. Then everything starts making sense. But if it's just this weird thing called dating, I don't know what dating means. I don't know what that is. So, yeah. And I think a lot of times the self-sabotage jumps in where I think it can really kick in your insecurity. So if you're somebody that struggles with low self-esteem already, which I told you guys, I realized from reading that book, I did. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that I struggled with low self-esteem, but it makes perfect sense. And I am doing something about it. And I think when you struggle with low self-esteem already, if you're trying to date somebody and you aren't sure where things stand and you don't even know how to ask the question, or if you do ask the question, you get vague answers, kind of like on that show Sex and the City, Carrie and Big. Big was always giving vague answers until there was like a crisis. And then he would say, like, look, I got to have it this way, or I got to have this in case of this. You know, it was always just kind of this vague stuff. And by the way, on that show, Carrie absolutely struggles with low self-esteem, which I never noticed until I realized that for myself. But I saw that that show came back out on Netflix or something, and I don't have Netflix, but I happen to have access to the show. And so I've been watching old episodes just to see, does this character actually have low self-esteem? And she sure does. Yeah. And I never saw it before, but yeah, she's constantly walking into a self-sabotage trap. Like, but it's all coming from low self-esteem. She should have said a long time ago, she should have cut off that relationship with Big a long time ago. And again, I think it's one of those scenarios, like I talked about with Frank and Susan. Susan's using the word love when there's disrespect. And I think that in Carrie's case, she's using the word love to disrespect herself. So very interesting, but again, a lot of people relate to it. So it makes sense that that's why she's a relatable character and it's a popular show, right? But back to my point with relationships, the vagueness, if there's a vague answer, that will send you into a tailspin, which it had done for me to a point where I reached a point probably by the time I was 30. So 12 years ago, I reached a point where I just stopped. I stopped ever trying to ever date again. Cause I did date people in my late 20s, but yeah, I just stopped trying to ever date again. I gave up on that, which fit in really, really well with the whole misanthrope thing that I've told you guys. I didn't know I struggled with that either until I read that book, The Novel Cure. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of the easy route is just completely stopping it. So, you know, even attempting today, I haven't done that in years. There was somebody I liked, but it never went anywhere. And I would say a lot of that is that when vagueness kicks your insecurity, or vagueness triggers that kind of low self-esteem, it just makes you question everything, and then you just don't trust the person. So you don't want that to happen. You know, you want to stay on a course that is confident in who you are and what you're wanting. And a lot of times it just takes time. You just have to kind of wait for things to come about. But the most valuable thing I would say for people like us when it comes to relationships is we need somebody else. We could do it ourselves. And I would say wait at least 6 months before you do this. I would say right at the 6 month mark, maybe ask the question. But if they do it before that, I think that's fine. I think that's even better. But I think we need somebody to say, would you like to see me exclusively? Or what would you think about us only seeing one another? You know, that's the question we need. We need that. Otherwise, it's vagueness. It's questioning everything. It's stress. It's low self-esteem to the wazoo, to where we start doing things that we wouldn't normally do, and we start doing things out of desperation. And that's because that low self-esteem is being triggered, or that low self-esteem is being, it's just coming out like crazy. But that's what we need. In my opinion, that is the answer. We need somebody to say, how would you like to see each other exclusively? You know, or if it's us, I again would wait for the 6 month mark, and 6 months goes by way faster than you might think, way faster. So at the 6 month mark, you know, mark it on your calendar. You know, when did you start seeing somebody? Okay, 6 months from now, circle it and ask that question. Have a date set and do it in a formal setting, right? Have it planned out. You know, give them a gift that day, the day that you're going to ask them, how would you like to see each other exclusively? Like, have a gift for them, like something that you buy for them that's something special to them and their personality, something about their interests. Give them a gift that day. And, you know, and I don't say give them the gift so they answer the question the way you want them to answer it. I would say have the gift, and just say it's something I got for you to show that you do know what their interests are and you care about their interests. And I think it's just a way to, it's something special to market if they say, yes, I'd like to see you exclusively. And if they say no, I would say they can still keep the gift because it shows them that, you know, if they were to say, no, I don't want to see you exclusively, let them keep the gift because it shows them that you care about them and you got to know them and you know what their interest is. And they'll remember it because they'll keep it, right? So like if you're dating somebody and they like baseball, like get them, you know, a baseball glove or buy them a baseball or buy them a ticket to go see a baseball game or, you know, a ticket for, you know, whatever, you know, something related to baseball, like maybe a hat or a jersey or something like that, or just, you know, something of that nature, or if they're a chef or an artist or whatever it is, buy them a cookbook or buy them, you know, something related to art. You know, so anyway, I just wanted to share that because I think that if you give them a gift, and they say no, and you let them keep it, it'll be kind of like they have kind of a memory of you if it ends, you know. And then maybe someday later they'll come back. Who knows? But I think it's good to have things kind of planned out that way, to ask at like a 6 month point, would you like to see each other exclusively? I just think it's a good time frame. But I think that's also something we need. We need in relation to having complex PTSD. I think that in regards to struggling with interpersonal dialogue, I think that we need that certain something. We need that security. And maybe everybody needs it, but I think we definitely need it. So that way, you know what to do moving forward, right? You know how to like plan for things. Like if you're going to live together or whatever. Now, in regards to these other two couples I mentioned, this Golden Bachelor guy and his wife and Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her husband. I watched a channel with a criminal profiler regarding the Gypsy Rose Blanchard, the crime that happened with her mom. And she said, you cannot date somebody in prison. She was like, you just can't do it. And so when Gypsy was dating the guy she would end up marrying, this profiler, Pat Brown, she was saying, you know, that's not how you meet somebody, right? So right off the gate, you know, I would say the interpersonal dialogue already had a huge flaw in it, right? So she married that person and now they're divorcing. And the whole seeking spousal support kind of makes sense if you just got out of prison 3 months ago. You probably need some bearings. And why the relationship ended, I don't know. And somebody might have even advised her to seek out that spousal support because they knew that she had just gotten out and she's depending on family. And why it ended, I have no idea. You know, maybe it's because they jumped into it. Maybe it was an impulsive marriage. I have no idea. But if you marry in prison, somebody who's not in prison, It can seem kind of impulsive, right? And that would be a feature of complex PTSD to marry impulsively like that. And in regards to a temporary restraining order, I don't know why, what that's about. I have no idea. And did she get back with her ex-fiance? I don't know. I've just heard that they are talking or they've been seen together. But there are similarities there to the way that I've seen people with complex PTSD and myself go through relationships. You really dive in and then it dissolves. And in regards to the other couple, you know, again, I think when you're older and you're living in two different states, it's just not practical. Unless your mind is made up, I am ready to move across the country for somebody. And hopefully when you're 72 years old, you've had that conversation with your adult children as well. So I don't know, maybe it actually ended for other reasons and we're just not being told that. But again, to jump to marry somebody after knowing them for just a few months, and you really only knew them around other people too on a TV show, and you married so quickly, again, it reminds me a little bit of complex PTSD because it's so, like, you're not taking the time to get to know someone. And I think that, like us, when we have complex PTSD, I think that can be the case too. We can be very, we're rushing things, but it's almost like, what the hell are we rushing anything for? But I think the rushingness is part of that impulsiveness. Impulsivity is one of the features of complex PTSD as well, which makes sense. You know, we don't like when things don't make any sense. We want answers and we want things to make sense. So the sooner you can get to being a committed couple, for us, it makes more sense. Like all of a sudden, okay, this is my boyfriend. This is my girlfriend. This isn't just somebody out there, you know, in the universe that we're occasionally seeing and wondering about every second of the day, which would be triggering low self-esteem. You know, it's a settled thing. Like it makes sense. But then it's like, well, what was the rush to get there? Because now you have all these new decisions to make, right? So my advice is take your time. Same for these two couples. I think they should have taken more time. In person and getting to know each other in person and their day-to-day values and their day-to-day customs. I would say the same thing for us. You know, don't jump into things. Really get to know the person, get to know their customs or culture, you know, things that bother them and how they respond to them and how that might trigger you or how it might not trigger you, how it might be the best thing ever. So anyway, this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.